around and getting you handled so that you don't have to sit through all the ones that aren't here. But you're welcome to do so. I received the minutes of the prior meeting and have reviewed them, and they're approved. We need to swear in the officers.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. The police magistrate, Dwayne Thomas, Matt Lightfree, Charles Rich, Jason Kilcrease, and Robert Spears accept the evidence.
Okay. What would you like to do first?
Good morning. My name is Charles Rich. I am with the City of Ocala. I'm the duly appointed chief code official for the city. I'm certified by the Florida Association of Code Enforcement, certified in all four levels of training. I've been charged in the division for more than 6 years. I have 30 years law enforcement experience. I'll be presenting your cases this morning.
Okay.
If a police magistrate, we would go to page 6 of the docket, CON 140225. I've been informed by the officer in this case that we are close to an agreement with this respondent. What the city is probably inclined to do here is going to be along the lines of what our recommendation is on page 2, I believe we gave that.
Could I interrupt you a moment?
Yes, sir.
It's page 5.
Page 5, not 6, okay.
Well, it's on page 6 on mine, but I apologize for that.
Okay, 2-5. So this is McAllister?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now proceed.
And I believe that we're offering 14 days in. What I'd like to do is read the case into the record. Maybe we would ask for a ruling in this case,
okay.
Agree to the 14 days with no consequence, if that will work for the respondent.
Okay.
So, having said that, this is the City of Ocala, Officer Jason Kilcrease versus Tammy McAllister, a location of 311 Northwest 28th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 34.122. The definition for an abandoned or derelict vehicle in Section 34.121 and Section 34.122, the abandoned or derelict vehicles requiring abatement. The parcel ID is 2523-002-028. Legal service was obtained on 2/27/2014 for the notice of violation and 3/26/2014 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property for the notice of hearing on 3/26/2014. The summary of findings that Officer Kilcrease located this property and observed properties in violation of the city's code and that it is an abandoned and derelict vehicle. Additional investigation by Officer Kilcrease revealed that the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation, and all attempts by Officer Kilcrease to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. In this case, we're referring to, if you look at the photographs at the end of your presentation, the maroon or dark colored Cadillac picture.
Yep.
There upon the property. Information from Officer Kilcrease this morning informed me that they had worked to get it tagged and insurance for it, but it's still not operational as is required in the code. So we're inclined to go with our recommendation, and at this time, if you don't have any additional questions, I would let the respondent speak.
Okay, let's talk to the respondent. Good morning. Be sworn, please.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
And if you could state your name and address for the record.
Jarvis McAllister. I live at 311 Northwest 28th Street, Ocala, Florida.
Okay, Mr. McAllister, what's the plan?
Actually, I'm going to get it runs and everything, but I just need to get some tires.
It actually does run?
Yes.
Looks like it's about to sink down into the earth.
The tires went flat on it. I've been letting it sit too long. I'm trying to, in the process, restore it.
You're going to be in the new tire business, too.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's hard to find tires for it. No one sells it.
Really?
Anymore. Yeah. I'm going to have to order them. So. But I agree to, actually, I really don't need to speak. If you could, just like 14 days.
Okay, you really think you can accomplish this in 14 days?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. In that case, I will find that the violation exists and give the respondent 14 days from the date of the order to come into compliance, failing which I adopt the staff recommendations on the staff, on the penalty. Okay? So you got 2 weeks. If you get in a... Are we maybe kidding ourselves? Should I maybe make it 3 weeks and then we know we got it?
I
extra desire, I think he's indicated he can get it done in two, and we could get this wrapped up. If not, he could always petition.
I'm going to change the order. I'm give him 3 weeks to solve that problem.
21 days.
And you've got plenty of time. Then if, you know, that spark plug has to come in from California or whatever it is, you know, you can still get it done.
Okay?
Thanks, great. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you coming
Thank
by.
You. We do have additional representation here this morning on your docket. That will take us, well, I'm going to tell you where it is, but I'm not sure what page it'll be on yours.
So. Well, I'll know approximately.
In old business, CON 140109, this is a consent agenda for non-compliance. This is a property that was in violation of the preservation code in the historic district. I don't know, I'm assuming that they're going to want to,
I'm getting there, I'm just catching up with you.
Sure, I'm assuming that they're going to want to ask you for something.
Okay, now which one is it we're talking about?
CON 140109. This is the case off of 208 Southeast 10th Street in the historic district. We had a case for about 4 years of, as I recall, for the affirmative maintenance requirements in the historic district.
Okay.
Then a new bank took the property over, still no change in the condition of the property. We cited the new bank, and for the same violation, they were found guilty. And so now we're at the end of their compliance period. So I don't know
When did we have a hearing on the?
At the last.
Oh, just at the last go around?
Yes, sir.
Do I have an icon on this one at all?
No, because I didn't know that they were going to show up for non-compliance.
Oh, okay.
I could.
No, I was trying to remember which property this was.
I can try to bring it up.
Why am I not seeing the bank's name? All I'm seeing is Sarah Clay's.
Well, because it's non-compliant, she's the primary in that she's still in the property appraiser's office.
Okay, so she's still the record owner, presumably?
Well,
or at least was when we started this adventure?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and
I know that they've since left town. They've, you know, they have left us with a lot of problems.
Okay, and what bank are we
I have no idea.
Dealing with? Don't know. Okay, well, let's bring up whoever's here and let's find these things out.
Bank of New York Mellon.
Bank of New York Mellon.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. If you'll be sworn, tell us who you are and what your relationship with the Bank of New York Mellon is.
Do you swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. The name's Benjamin Lattiser. I'm with the law firm of Clairfield, Ocon, Salamone, and Pincus. We represent Ocwen Loan Servicing, who's the servicer for Bank of New York Mellon. We just got final judgment of this property late last year.
Okay.
So I understand it may be a lengthy violation period, but we've only just recently stepped in and we're trying to remedy the situation.
How long ago did you file the complaint?
I don't have the court.
That's going to be real important to me because Bank of New York is one of the ones that parks on cases for 2 and 3 years without completing the foreclosure because they don't want to be responsible.
Well, Your Honor, what happened in this matter is that we've been trying to get the violation remedied. There's been a change of the person that was assigned. I guess whoever was assigned had retired.
Mm-hmm.
And then another person was assigned. I believe they were changed. So we just got the name of Matt, who I spoke with this morning. We didn't have a contact information, good contact information. So now that we do, I'm going to get his card. We're going to exchange information, and we're going to get this taken care of. We're just asking for an additional 30 days.
In the complete candor department,
mm-hmm.
I had a hearing with, I don't think your law firm, but another law firm, in a Bank of New York Mellon case Monday. It is a 2010 case. In over 3 years, they have not so much as filed a single piece of paper. I want to know when the complaint was filed. Somebody got a, can somebody go to the clerk's website, please?
Yeah. I mean, I can look it up myself.
We have a certificate of title issued.
Okay, what's the case number on the certificate?
The case number is 16-10-4349.
So you sat on this thing for four solid years?
Yes, sir.
And you let our city sit there and look at it for four solid years?
And Your Honor, I can go back and look at it. Chances are my firm nor Ocwen was the original servicer nor the original plaintiff, the original plaintiff's firm.
Not my problem. You bought it. You bought the problem. We had to look at it for 4 years. It is not presently in compliance. I think you got the compliance date to look at that you were originally ordered on. When you get it cleaned up, come back and talk to me. We'll make a reasonable resolution. I think that request is denied.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir.
That would take us to our third party on representation this morning, which is on page 6, mm-hmm. Petition to reduce penalty, COM 11-2329.
Seneca?
Yes.
Okay.
I will give you a moment to read over the petition.
Okay, so I do have a petition button on that one. Okay.
Yes.
Is it now in compliance?
Yes, sir. I'm looking at this. It appears as though we may have. Oh, no, that was only. I've got Seneca on two other petitions here.
Mm-hmm.
And this one appears to be COM 11-2329. Are you in?
No, the I'm in the other one.
Okay.
Okay. Which one do you want to do?
COM 11-2329.
You just want to see if I can.
I apologize. I don't know if I told you that wrong or if you just got the wrong one.
You told me wrong. I don't make mistakes.
We'll go with that.
Okay, and what was the violation? The violation was weeds? No, this
yes,
was
sir.
Weeds.
Yes, sir.
And registration.
Weeds, registration, maintenance requirements. The tree fell on the house. We couldn't get anybody to take care of it. And we had a outstanding situation there.
Oh, yeah.
For a while.
Did the city mediate that or did
I'm bringing that information. That's on your case cost sheet.
Okay, let me finish looking.
And the photographs are there.
That's quite a tree.
We had 283 days of non-compliance.
Okay.
On the structure being unsecure. 26 days of non-compliance on the registration. Uh-huh. And 160 days of non-compliance on the tree. So we did $853.91 work there. We
had, so you did the remediation?
Yes, sir. We had $226.07 in costs and prosecution costs. It ended up with a $12,804.98
fine.
Lien. Mm. Yes, sir. Of course, you know, okay. I don't know if this person who's here to speak today was the person that was continually in charge of this,
okay.
Or if it was a...
Okay, the latter photos appear that it's new shingles on the roof and it appears all fixed.
Right, we would not have done that. We would have probably just cleaned up the tree debris and maybe put a tarp over it.
You had a blue tarp on it.
Yes, sir, and I think that after that they must have come in and
okay.
taken care of the problem to try to preserve the
okay.
structure.
Okay, let me get to, okay, let me close this one. Petition case cost sheet. There we go. Okay, so you got a
ultimate.
You have 11.6 in daily fines.
Yes, sir. So ultimately the city would like to be made whole on our costs.
You got 850.
consistent with our usual way. We do a 50% reduction, but in order to get this moving, the city would probably just request $1,000 in fines. If that helps the respondent.
Okay, got 853.91.
That leaves you with about
226.07.
Yes.
1,079.98.
Okay, let's talk to whoever's here for the lender and proceed forward from there. You'll be sworn and state your name and relationship to Seneca, please.
I swear from the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do. Good morning, sir. I'm with Home Run Realty.
Okay.
Here local. I'm a realtor.
We won't hold that against you.
I know. I'm sorry. not like the last guy. But anyway, we acquired this listing as a foreclosure. It's a Fannie Mae property now. Mm-hmm. Looks like it was foreclosed to Wells Fargo. The first pictures with the tree on the roof,
mm-hmm.
we never had that listing when that tree was. So when we got it, it was already fixed.
Okay.
The roof was fixed. So I am also the buyer's agent for this property.
So you got it under contract at this time?
We have it under contract. So Fannie Mae has requested that we come in and try to get a reduction for what it is. So
mm-hmm.
I have a young lady with a small little child that's buying a house, so they're gonna end up really repairing it more
mm-hmm.
To get it up to par. So they're gonna literally redo the whole roof.
Seneca fairly responsive to you when you deal with them?
No,
it's Fannie Mae
now. So
okay.
I think this is gone. 2079.
Yeah, it seems like it got foreclosed in 2010.
Okay.
And then the fines were imposed, and we didn't receive the property until a couple months ago. So, and once we do the title, then it pulls up, and then we start seeing that there's liens.
Yeah.
So,
I'm just thinking in terms of timing. I mean, I don't know how. First of all, what's your scheduled closing date?
We are supposed to close by the end of this month.
Okay.
That's tentative.
And is the intent to try to get a check out of Fannie Mae, or is the intent to pay us out of the closing?
It'll be paid out of closing because it's a lien, so Fannie Mae will have to pay it.
Okay, so you don't have to get the government to approve a check and process a check and mail you a check and all that?
Well, we still have to go through the whole process. But,
okay. And it's the end of this month, April?
Yeah. They're pretty responsive, Fannie Mae is, who we work with. It's just they have to send it to a higher department to have it paid. So
mm-hmm.
we have to do is, myself and the broker, we have to respond to them of what the penalty is going to be. So
okay. So we're now at the 24th. The end of the month is a week away. The staff recommendation is to reduce the fine to $1,000. I will approve that, but only if it's paid on or before May 7th. Other than that, you go back to where you were.
Okay.
So that gives you 2 weeks to close the deal.
So that'll make the total cost and fine $2,079.
Whoa. You said $1,000.
$1,000 on the fine, and then our costs were $53.91 and $226.
Okay.
Yeah, the cost is not a problem.
Okay.
For what you guys did removing the tree.
Yeah. Okay, so you're looking at your city costs and administrative costs total $1,079. So if I reduce the $7,000 worth of fines, no, not the $7,000, the $11,600 worth of fines to $1,000, you would be at a $2,079.98 position that you would need to pay. On or before the 7th of May.
2079.98. Gotcha.
That ought to leave you a little margin.
So you're going to give me till when?
No, May the 7th. 5:01 p.m.
Not 5:02?
No. These lovely ladies.
I got you.
Tend not to be there.
I thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Appreciate your
effort.
That'll bring us to page 3 of the docket, CUM 14-0094.
Collins?
Yes, sir. This is the City of Ocala, and Officer Matt Lightfree versus Charles and Connie Collins, a location at 2348 Northeast 18th Avenue. This is for a violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2458-001-002. Legal service was obtained on 2/24/2014 for the notice of violation and 4/4/2014 for the notice of hearing. The summary of findings that Officer Matt Lightfried responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown and contains junk and debris. Additional investigation by Officer Lightfried revealed the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation. All attempts by Officer Lightfried to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful and violation remains. I direct your attention to photographs at the end of the presentation. Officer Matthew Lightfried is here to answer any questions you may have, and if you'd like, I'd read the staff recommendation.
If you would read that while I look at photographs.
Staff recommendation, we would find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495, order them to 1. Cut and clean up the property removing any junk and debris, 2. Pay the cost of prosecution as assessed in the case within 14 days. Failing which, a fine of $25 per day and city to do the work utilizing any means required with all constant fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the City Attorney's Office for consideration of foreclosure.
Okay.
And staff is prepared to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay.
And we do have a respondent here that can speak with management.
Okay, Mr. Liebfried, are we primarily focused on the collection to the right of the house?
That's correct.
In the photos? And we got, looks like a broken swing or something in the back. Okay, let me keep looking. And we got a little grass issue. Okay, who do we have here? Come on up. Be sworn, tell us who you are, see where we're going.
You swear from the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
And if you just state your name and address for the record.
Charles Collins. Address 1802 Northeast 22nd Street, Ocala, Florida.
Mm-hmm. What are we going to do here?
Well, this is, I've had a house probably 20 years or better, and people are like 9 months behind paying, and I can't afford to keep up. I own a small business here in town since 1982. I've been licensed with the city. I've been by there several times trying to talk to the lady, and she's belligerent and nasty, mean. They had an old bar out front there, and I had talked to a lady. She goes, well, all the garbage got to be pulled to the front or taken to the dump. So
yeah.
I just went out there, and she started screaming about, don't take my stuff and this and that. I said, well, you got to clean the place up. I showed her the letter, and she still won't comply. So the gentleman came home one day, because I live right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to him. He said, well, we'll go ahead and get to it. I said, well, how about I just come down and cut the grass? So I go back down there, and they have a pit bull in the backyard tied up. And they got a pit bull, which I told before, you know, you're not allowed to have these animals here. So what I got to do is just get enough money to just get them booted out. I've already talked to the finance company. You know, it's under foreclosure. I mean, this is my retirement. I have two houses right now under foreclosure because they don't pay, and I just can't afford to keep it up anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I've kept it up for years, paid my taxes, always kept up the yards, you know, and I guess I'm just going to, if I have to get them out to clean the yard, I'm just feared that I go there and the pit bull is going to get loose or get
sure.
me in. I mean, it's a nice neighborhood. I mean, pretty much everybody keeps their place up. But I went by there this morning and showed the letter. I said, because of you, I have to go to, you know, lose morning time
yeah.
for work because of the situation. I have no problem going there and cutting the grass and keeping it up.
Okay.
But
so
people,
your tenant is still there. The tenant is in possession
yes.
of the property. Is the tenant under a written lease?
Yes.
Are they current on their rent?
They're not current on the rent, no.
Okay. Have you sent them a 3-day notice?
No, but after I leave here, I'm going to go to the courthouse.
Courthouse.
And I'm going
to
do that.
You need to go to the county courthouse, to the clerk of the county court.
Mm-hmm.
Not the circuit court, the county court.
Okay.
Not the family court. Right? None of the other stuff. Just plain old county court. They'll give you a form for a 3-day notice. The eviction is relatively easy and quick.
Doesn't it cost $300, though?
Probably.
That's been my problem.
Yeah. Well, $300 is just the beginning of the story. If they don't voluntarily leave, you got to pay the sheriff to go out and throw them out there.
Yeah. What you mean.
Step two. Okay. So you're going to need, how much time did you recommend?
The city would like to have the property cut, cleaned up, the junk and debris removed within 14 days, which we're prepared to do if we can.
Are you,
foreclosure.
you're actually prepared to go in and get it, clean it up?
It's a foreclosure.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is we've got neighbors there that are complaining to us, so.
I know all the neighbors too. It's a shame, I've talked to them.
Yeah. Okay, well, which would you rather do? Would you rather let me have, would you rather have me use the 14-day limit, which will result in the city mowing it and cleaning it?
Mm-hmm.
Potentially, you wind up with a lien on the property, but truthfully, the city's expenses for doing this sort of stuff are really pretty modest, and you can make installment payment on the lien.
How much would that be? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea. Several hundred bucks, probably.
Yeah, a few hundred dollars, I would assume.
Yeah.
So, that might be better off if I could have the time to get them out and go
Well, that's but that, or do you want 45 days and you go do it?
I take the 45 days and do it. I'll go to the courthouse and do it. I want to get the people out so bad, and it's probably going to cost me a couple $1,000 to get the house back in shape if I can even get the bank. If it's under foreclosure, it's probably already too far.
How long ago did you get served with the summons?
As far as for the trash around the house?
No. When the sheriff or the process server brought you the complaint.
It's been going on probably about a year now.
Is it upside down?
Yeah.
Is the debt more than what it's worth? Well,
yeah.
There's a reason for the lender to want to talk to you.
Yeah, I know. I talked to it before. I mean, when it appraised that at 120 back when things were good, then now it probably couldn't get $50,000 for it. That was $60,000. I even told the bank, you know, I mean, unless things really change to where this is my retirement, I mean,
yeah.
I'll be 60 here the next month. I'm going like, geez, this is what's supposed to happen this way, but you just got to go with what you got to go with.
I understand. But okay, I'm going to find that the violation exists. And I'll adopt the staff recommendation with the exception that the compliance date will be 45 days.
So the 45 days and
then the fines kick in. If it takes you longer than that, come back and talk to me.
Okay.
We can either work with the amount of the fines or we can work with the compliance date, whichever.
Yeah.
Stay in touch with Chip in his office.
And get his number and card and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Liebfried, yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
If
glad
I can't
to work
resolve
with
this.
You. Okay.
Thank you.
That'll bring us to the bottom of page 3 of the docket. CON 14-0214.
Okay. Fletchville.
Yes, sir. This is the City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Fletchville, Inc. A location of 2927 Southwest College Road.
Okay.
This is for violation of section 110-131, prohibited signs. The parcel ID is 23518-000-00. Legal service was obtained on 3-18-2014 for the notice of violation and 4-5-2014 for the notice of hearing. We post the property on 4-4-2013 for the notice of hearing, and we have included a copy of the SunBiz report. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas has received numerous complaints and observed this violation of the city code in the business, which utilizes the vehicle to advertise its business.
Sure.
In violation of the city's code, which states that a vehicle parked so as clearly to be used as a sign is a violation. Officer Thomas responded to the business location on many different times and days and observed that they are not in compliance at the location, attempted to work with them concerning the violation, and Officer Thomas never achieved proper compliance by the respondent. Sent notice of violation and notice of hearing, and all attempts for us to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff will draw your attention to the photographs. I know the magistrate is familiar with this State Road 200 corridor.
Sure.
And I know that we have been working to try and eliminate this advertising for many years.
Well,
staff has a recommendation.
Yeah, tell me what
that
is.
Read that into the recommendation. Staff recommendation to find respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 110-131, order them to remove any unpermitted signs, flags, banners, and not place additional signs upon their property without permit as stipulated within the code within 48 hours. Failing which, a fine of $50 per day, and all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. If you recall, we had similar cases with other companies in this area, but also with trailers and things of that nature.
Well, the one that most distinctly comes to mind is the pawn and gun shop on the corner of the Boulevard and Pine.
Yes, sir.
And
another problem that we've had, and also with the bail bonds company that had a truck similarly
right.
situated, and the laundromat that had a trailer that they were moving from location to location that mm-hmm. you've also dealt with. Officer Thomas is prepared to answer any questions here, and we have a respondent here that would like to speak.
With regard to Officer Thomas, I mean, other than just repainting the truck or making the truck disappear, what other possibilities?
It's our experience that if the truck is used in their business,
mm-hmm.
they could do like all of the other companies that use trucks in their vehicle mm-hmm. in their business and park the vehicle off the main street mm-hmm. where it is used as a billboard.
Yeah.
So if they're parking it in the parking lot, mm-hmm. where it's not used as obviously being used as a sign, there's plenty of other parking where they could park this vehicle in their parking lot. A lot of companies park their vehicles in the rear of the business, but we're not asking that. We're simply asking,
is there a loading dock or parking area in the rear of this property?
I'm not familiar with one at this location.
Okay. Does that mean you don't know? Or
I do not know.
You do not know, okay.
But maybe the respondent can answer that
probably
question
can.
For you. But there is plenty of other additional parking places where they could park this vehicle mm-hmm. where it's not being used as a sign,
yeah,
which is a violation. So consistent with other respondents in this similar situation, they've moved the vehicle off the main roadway and it's been in compliance and we haven't had additional problems. The problem here is that this vehicle required a license plate. The tires were down, it was inoperable, and then, you know, they got the tag on it, they filled up the tires, got it. I believe it's operable at this point, but
did we have a point in time when it was a dead truck?
Oh, yes.
Not going in? Okay, so it spent weeks and months sitting there, not, okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's talk to the owner. Please be sworn by the secretary and tell us who you are.
You swear from the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do. My name is Keith Fletcher. I'm the owner of the property at 1927 Southwest College Road. And I was under the impression that if the vehicle worked, it was used as part of the business, you could park it in the out front.
Well.
And we, as he said, we do have a...
What do you, I mean... Explain to me how a truck that has flat tires and no tag and doesn't run is, quote, used in your business, close quote, other than a billboard.
Obviously, it was just sitting there, sir. But
so how is it used in your business?
We made it operable and put a tag on it and bought insurance for it and then moved it, or it was operable.
Yeah.
So, but now you're saying even if it's operable,
I'm not saying anything yet. I'm trying to understand. You're telling me this is a truck that's, quote, used
in your
business.
No, sir, I admit that it was just sitting there for a long time, but it is in the process of becoming operable.
Okay, but what role is it going to play in your business?
Well, it's a delivery van. It's a work van.
And... I'm not, it's been a decade since I've been in your shop, but I'm not aware of doing any customer deliveries. That's not your
business. Oh, no, sir, it'll be like taking stuff to the post office. Or... Work around the plaza.
Okay. Is it currently operative?
No, sir, I have bill for some engine that was ordered for it.
Oh, okay. So you got to completely replace the engine?
Sir?
Yes, sir. Well, you know,
it was in pretty bad shape.
Okay, let me look at what the staff is recommending here, and let's see if we can figure out something that makes sense. Here, staff recommendation.
Please, the magistrate, we're not asking for a fine at this time. Consistent with how we've generally done, we request an order at first and try to work with the respondent to, you know, get it out of there.
Well, that was my goal.
I can move it to another part of the property until it's fully operable, sir.
Okay, I mean...
Or, like I said, I didn't know the ordinance had been reinterpreted that you couldn't park your
vehicle out front. Well, it's not really so much a reinterpretation. I mean, conditional.
That was just my impression.
Okay, well, you've already been at this for a month and a half. Have we ordered the engine?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We had it moved at one point. I guess originally it started working and then it broke again. Is that what happened? I don't want to put words in there.
We moved it and we cleaned it up and ordered all the stuff for it and had the mechanic look at it and mess with it and try to make it run. And then you got to give up and order the engine. And
I think,
and I was under the impression that as long as if it did actually work and was had a tag and current insurance, that it was allowable.
No, not quite. That's not quite.
Like I said, I'm learning.
You're learning as you go.
Yes, sir.
Well, how long does city staff recommend for him to get it out of there?
We had 14 days.
That's reasonable.
I think we're not initially asking for a fine. Originally, it was moved over by the far west side of the lot by the Bravo store. Mm-hmm. I think that's an acceptable location.
Are there any loading docks on the back of this property? I can't tell from the property.
Sir.
There are so there's an asphalted area behind the building.
There's parking to the west of the building that he just mentioned.
Okay.
It would be easier to put it in rather than near the loading dock, which gets used quite often. We wouldn't want to stick there.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to find that the violation exists. I'm going to reserve further ruling in terms of fines and penalties. I'm going to create a compliance date that is 14.
I'm sorry, I read you the wrong compliance date. We were requesting it to be removed within 48 hours with no fine.
Okay.
Okay, and if we can't get that accomplished, then a fine.
Well,
I'm thinking
I'll hold a further hearing. I'll reserve and hold a further hearing on that subject. What I want is that truck gone from the street side fast.
Yes, sir.
10 days reasonable to get a tow truck or a push or you and your brother or whatever it takes?
That would be plenty reasonable.
Okay. So you're going to have a compliance date that is, let's see, this is the 24th, that would be the 34th, that would be about the 3rd of May?
That would be fine.
Okay. So a compliance date on May 3rd, if you're in compliance by May 3rd, the only sanction that I would impose on you at that point is whatever the city's costs are to date. What are those, sir?
Excuse me.
I'm trying to get to
the city's costs are, we have an affidavit of costs on page 29.
I'm getting there.
147.38.
Okay. Okay, I will impose the city's administrative costs of 147, whatever it was. And if those costs are paid and that truck has disappeared back away from that front parking area, then as far as I'm concerned, that's going to be the end of the case. And if it's not, if there's no compliance by May 3rd, then we'll schedule another hearing and talk about it. See whether or not we're going to impose any fines. Surely you can make that thing disappear in 10 days.
Yes, sir. I certainly can.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
That'll bring us to page 4 of your docket this morning. The City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Fanny Cruz and Tanya Hernandez. We may have
also noticed Ocala Motors. I'm assuming they own the property. We noticed them just because they own the property.
Yeah, that's a pretty good reason.
They're not the business that's conducting business there at that location now.
No, but they would be the owner.
Right. So, this is, you know, 14.
Okay, this is for not having a...
business tax.
Right? Yeah, okay.
So CUM 14-0257, a case involving the city of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas for violation of 6261 levy, 6262 tax certificate required, 6266 delinquent penalties, engaging business without a certificate, 6276 revocation of certificate, and 6278 tax constitutes debt to the city, and 122312 permitted uses.
Okay. I understand what a certificate is. Explain to me how you cite them on the one hand for not having a certificate, and on the second hand, you're revoking that certificate.
Well, we have to go through this process to be able to revoke a previous certificate that they did have, that they have now not paid.
Had the previous certificate expired?
Yes, sir.
So what is the meaning of revoking an expired certificate?
Well, we get the order to revoke it because we're not going to allow them to conduct business there.
Okay, what is the nature of this? Is it a used car lot?
I can read that in there and call Officer Thomas.
Okay, let's have Officer Thomas tell me what this thing is.
It looks like a used car lot to me.
Yeah, it says used cars on the sign.
Don't want to put words into people's mouths.
Okay.
Let me first get the factual information into the record. The parcel ID is 2573-001-004. Legal service was obtained on 3/10/2014 for the NOV. And 4/5/2014 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 4/4/2014 for the notice of hearing. For additional correspondence, we've included a copy of the SunBiz report and electronic permit. We would require a business tax certificate to be reissued there. Officer Dwayne Thomas received this complaint from the City of Ocala's Building Department, advising that the business is operating without the required business tax certificate and operating in an R1 district.
That's what I was going to ask you. What's the zoning on this thing?
R1? Officer Thomas responded to the business location, observed they are still in business at the location, and left word for them to contact him concerning the incident. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful. And I'm assuming the business was moved there from a previous location where they had a business tax certificate. So the staff recommendation would be to find the respondent guilty of violating 6261, 6262, 6266, 6278, and 122312, order them to pay delinquent business tax fees to the city at the one-stop permit center in the city of Ocala, not conduct any more business, unpermitted business in the R1 district, and pay the cost of prosecution of the case all as assessed within 14 days, failing which a cost of fines assessed as a lien after 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure, and Officer Thomas is here to answer any additional questions that you may have. Okay.
If I get the drift of all this, if they toddle down to the city office and try to buy a permit for that location, you're not going to sell it to them.
And that has actually happened, yes, sir.
Okay. Good.
And it is a used car lot, obviously.
Yeah. The feather sign,
yes,
says used cars, yeah.
They were permitted, I believe they were permitted at another location. They would have to.
That's a lot of cars. Man, we wouldn't even let that many people stand on that lot, let alone.
Yes, sir. They have actually recently purchased, my understanding is purchased a lot next to it. They're wanting to...
How's that going to solve the problem?
It's the zoning that's the issue here.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, if the lot next door is an R1, we're not going anywhere with that one.
That's correct.
Okay, let's talk to the folks and see how we got where we are. Come on up. Anybody that's going to give any testimony needs to be sworn in by the clerk.
You swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
That's right.
And if you could state your name and address for the record.
Yes, Your
name and address for the record.
My name is Noah Hernandez. My address is 9980 Southwest 100 Street.
Mm-hmm. My name is Tanya Hernandez. Address is 4651 Southwest 110th Lane, Ocala, Florida, 34476.
Okay, how are we going to solve the zoning problem?
Let's start it from the beginning. When we bought the property, actually, we got it printed out here. It showed the property as a B4, and we just found out, like, when this received the letter, the property is I-3, when we went to the county, but when we go on public record, mm-hmm. it showed before. We went to get all the license from as DMV required mm-hmm. to have a business in there, and they issue all the license. We had the state sales tax certificate also that we pay taxes mm-hmm. every month. And we get all the license except the city.
Except the occupational license.
Occupational license. Yeah. And we just found out that the city required that.
Well, you really got two problems from a technical point of view. Number one, you don't have the license.
Right.
Number two, even if the city sold you a license, you'd have a zoning violation, and the zoning department would be standing on your front door the next week.
Yeah, that's why we're here and see if we can.
You know, you're technically here for not having the license.
Okay.
But just getting the license doesn't get you anywhere.
Well, we're trying to see if we can rezoning the property.
Are there houses around it? Is it yeah. in a residential neighborhood? You're not going to get a rezoning of that for a used car lot.
Well, the surrounding is all commercial. We're right on 27. All the business around is commercial. It's not even single neighbor that we have next to car lot.
In front of the location, there's another used car dealership.
Well, maybe you will. Okay. Well, here's my problem. It's easy enough for me to verbalize a cure, but it's a cure that's not a cure. I mean, if I say you have 14 days to buy a permit, then we all kind of shake our hands and walk down the street and you go try to buy a permit. They won't sell it to you. So if I make buying the permit the cure, we're wasting our conversation because you can't do it. And I can't change the zoning. I don't have that authority. Zoning board does that. Have you filed a petition with the zoning board?
No, we're here to find out what's the procedure and how to go about it. I know okay. you had went, I don't know, is the city of Ocala?
Yes, I spoke to Laura Park.
We're trying to see what...
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm trying to lead you through the steps and not create any false hopes that...
Yeah, we started this on March 3rd.
I was just going back to look at what the date on the letter was.
We started this on March 3rd. They need to be in contact with the...
zoning people.
Planning and zoning department, yeah. Not code enforcement.
Right.
I think our idea is that they could get a business tax certificate for another location, like they had previously.
Yeah, but that isn't going to let them operate on this location under any circumstances.
They can't do one here.
No.
So that's why we have the permitted uses there. So I'm with you if you want to put in abeyance the business tax certificate issue. I'm more than willing to do that at this point. We still have a zoning issue. We need them off the property with all those vehicles. Mm-hmm. Then they can work on getting the zoning changed.
Okay. Where is the zoning office?
Right behind us, where they went to get their building, their business tax.
So it's over by, in the same building your office is in?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You know where the electric is?
Yes.
Second floor?
I've been there a couple of times.
Okay.
I can't guarantee because it's not in my area.
I understand.
It would be going before council to have a zoning change made to that location. In the meantime, though, we can't allow
what
them
is
to
it,
operate.
What is it, a two-month operation?
It's basically $4,000 to get the zoning changed on a lot because of the advertising involved. That money is spent.
And you first of all go before the zoning commission.
Well, if it's like they're indicating, and I can't speak to this, but if they're indicating that it is touching another property that is similarly zoned, the zoning they need, mm-hmm. sometimes they can take care of that and through zoning change go through P&Z.
Mm-hmm. So you got to get on the P&Z.
They could support then it has to go to council after that.
After that goes to council. So
there's a few steps. This is not something that
happens.
It could take 6 to 8 months.
6 to 8 months?
I'm thinking that they're going to they have to advertise a considerable amount of time. I don't know what's already on P&Z. I'm yeah. speaking broad terms. If there's other people that contest, I mean, we've been working six months now to get Ocala Stud and Red Oak zoned. It's just not within our purview.
I understand.
Our purview is the current violation.
Hey.
And I'm going by, we had zone change for the, if you recall, the farm hobby tractor shop in the 2900 block of Northeast 14th Street. It took them roughly 6 months to get the zoning change there that they could have outdoor display of the small tractors. They wouldn't have big tractors, and then they said they could have 15. They limited the number of tractors they could put out there. And I just think we would be in a similar situation here. They were going to, they're not going to let them stack, you know, so many
vehicles. Here's the problem. The typical situation when you want to open up a business is that you ascertain the zoning and you get the proper zoning before you move the business onto the parcel. You don't do it the other way around. Here's what I'm going to do. Where do I find your recommendation?
Our recommendation is on the bottom of page 2.
Page 2, wherever the heck page 2 is. Page 2. Notice of violation, map, staff recommendation. Do you own any other commercial real estate in Marion County?
I do.
Well, I'm trying to figure out. I mean, effectively, the staff recommendation requires the removal of all the vehicles. And I'm trying to find out what your options are in terms of where you can move them to.
The property that she owned, she's right now on the process to changing the zoning. So she working on
so
that.
So you actually have the zoning petition on the other properties filed?
In Marion County, yeah, I bought some property, but that's the site.
Okay, well, you know, that's telling me you guys understand the idea of zoning.
No, that was mine. That's not his.
I understand.
That was mine on the county.
But you're on this one. You're on this one. So for over a month now, you've known that you need to go down and file a petition for a rezoning.
I haven't over a month. I just did it this month.
The letter's May 3rd.
March.
March 3rd. March 3rd, sorry.
April 3rd was when I was notified. But,
honey, the thing on this property that we're talking about, we was under the impression that it's a before.
Yeah, I understand that.
We didn't know until now that the property...
I sympathize with you on that, but...
So we didn't know until now that, you know, buying another property, we was aware that it's not commercial and we want to, because it's a big property, she want to change it, a commercial.
Do all these vehicles operate? Do all the vehicles on the property operate?
Yes.
And crank them up and drive them down the street?
Yes.
Okay, so we don't need a tow truck?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I was running business there. Also, I got people that go make the payment on the car that I have already financed on the street.
Okay, I understand.
So
buy here, pay here.
It's something that to move it to one day and another one is not easy.
I understand.
I think I'm inclined to agree with the magistrate here that I think if they would have worked to obtain a business tax certificate from the beginning,
they would have found the sound.
Would have, yeah. Evidently, if there's a misprint in the county's record, sometimes that happens when the city annexes property, the county doesn't get the change made. So I can see, I empathize with the fact that they may have looked at the property appraiser's office, but I think they should have probably started with a business tax certificate to operate in the city.
Jeez, guys, you don't make this any easier. Where were you running the business before you moved to this parcel? Or you weren't running it? This is a new shop.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Come on. City Council's never going to get accused of wasting money on electronics equipment. Jeez. Okay, I'm looking for the Sun Biz.
That's going to be on page, excuse me.
There we go, I got it, okay. Well, your corporation was organized over 2 years ago. So what's it been doing for the last 2 years?
I've been working in that place.
In that location?
In that location for 2 years.
Wow.
When I bought the property was empty for 15 years. Mm-hmm. Although I renovated the house, I spent almost $20,000. To renovate the property, clean it out, and now we're here.
Well, here's what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Okay. I don't have much choice but to adopt the staff recommendation. I mean, you pretty obviously are running a business in an R1 zone without a license. So you're going to have some time, 2 weeks or whatever, to get the certificate, and you can't get it in that time, so you necessarily are going to find yourself in a violation mode. Whether or not the city sends out the police or the gendarmes or whoever to lock you to a post or something like that if you are continuing to operate, I have no control over. I can't tell you what effort they're going to make to actually enforce their occupational license code. I would think you would have a lot better shot at getting patients from the city if you had a pending zoning application. Can't promise you, but at least you're looking like you're trying at that point. Right now, you're just sitting out there having had a month's notice of the problem. But you haven't gone down to the zoning office and filed for a zoning change, which is the key to the whole problem.
Well, the two times that I went to the zoning department to get the application to do the process, they told me, don't waste the time, they're not going to approve it to change the zoning.
Well, that's a clue.
I mean, I don't understand.
Well, you don't understand. I mean, you know you're supposed to have.
Why they don't want to change the zoning?
I don't know why they're going to.
All the business.
No, that's not in their choice. They don't have to support it.
Right.
But he can make his.
That's true. City council is the one that actually does the rezonings.
Even if the P&Z denies it.
Right.
It still goes to council.
Right. Okay. Yeah, you've got bigger problems than this occupational license. You really do. I'm going to go ahead and adopt the staff recommendation, but the occupation, it's called a certificate, is not your problem, really. Your problem is your zoning. And I just, you're now on the city's radar on this subject, and it isn't going to go away. And you either need to go plan A to move the business, or plan B, get a rezoning. But I don't know of any other possible plans that you could implement. You just can't run a car dealership in an R3 or R anything. And I don't even think it's permitted as a special exception. I'm not sure, but
yes, sir.
Yeah.
Now, so if I submit the application to rezone, can the city give me time and wait to
you
see what happens?
You gotta ask them. You gotta go to a higher authority. That's above my pay grade. Okay.
You need to work with their officer.
Yeah. You need to work with the officer and you need to work with the zoning department. See what you can do. But you got an uphill battle. You really do. Okay? Thank you, guys. Appreciate you coming.
That will bring us to page 2 of your docket this morning.
Okay.
Give me more coffee.
Yes. Half, two-thirds of a cup, something like that.
That'll be the city of Ocala, I'm sorry, CUM 14-0274. Do we need to take a short break?
No. Mm-mm. You're very compliant staff, and so you have the...
Well, remember, Officer Kennedy has since retired.
I know.
This
well,
is
that,
be
that,
your,
that probably
your coffee, chief coffee getter. So.
Well, that was probably increased the compliant
CUM 14-0274.
I'm not sure that I would have ever told Officer Kennedy to go get coffee. Fortunately, you don't give these people weapons.
This is the city of Ocala, and speaking of the prior officer, Officer Lorraine Kennedy, in her case, has been taken over by Officer Matthew Leifried, versus Victor Sylvia Poog and Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., a location of 1240 Southeast 19th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 34-141 through 145, property registration and maintenance required for and registration required for properties in default. The parcel ID is 28623-003-13. I would point out for the record that we do not have representation here today in this case. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of the documentation presented in this case file. And we have included for your information a copy of the Les Pendants and the Sun Biz report. We would require property registration.
Brick City Park is that park that's tucked behind the Lutheran School, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I know where we are. All right.
The summary findings are that Officer Lorraine Kennedy responded to this location due to neighbor's complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code. Additional investigation revealed that the property is in foreclosure and Officer Kennedy added the bank to the case. Work by Officer Kennedy enabled the overgrown violation to be cleared up by the respondents. However, the bank has not complied with the registration requirements. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy all violations have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff has prepared a staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2. We've included pictures of the photographs, the current condition.
It looks like somebody was digging out the driveway to, oh no, those are leaves. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
This is a nice neighborhood. They need to get after this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I find the violation exists and adopt the staff recommendation.
That'll bring us to page 3.
While we're on the subject of Ms. Kennedy, has she moved to Georgia?
No.
She's still in the neighborhood?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
She's already made a couple calls to us this week to make sure we're all still okay.
Okay, good. See, she does like you.
That'll bring us to the middle of page 3 of your docket this morning, CUM 14-0312. The city of Ocala and Officer Matthew Leifried versus Sandra Mount, a location of 2533 Northeast 4th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, section 34121, and section 34122. The parcel ID is 24936-000-00. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your documentation. I would point out for the record that we do not have a representative here for this case this morning.
Okay, we're just south of Vanguard High School.
The summary of findings are that after Officer Matthew Leifried responded to this location due to neighbor's complaint, and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown and contains junk and debris and has an abandoned and derelict vehicle. Work by Officer Leifried enabled the overgrown violation in the front yard to be cleared up by the respondents. However, they have not complied with the junk and debris and the overgrowth in the rear yard.
Are these owners or tenants? Matthew?
These are owners.
These are owners?
That have left.
All attempts by Sir Lightfried to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful. The violation remains. Staff has included photographs of the condition of the property, and staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2.
Okay. So we had a bunch of God knows what under the carport.
And then now, the backyard is still a mess.
And now it is a whole bunch better. Okay. Okay, I find the violation exists and adopt the staff recommendation.
That'll bring us to page 4 of the docket this morning. And case COM 14-0288, a case involving the city of Ocala and Officer Robert Spears versus Brian Keith Vincent. A location of 1840 Northwest 29th Court, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. For violations of section 3491, sanitary nuisance is defined. 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. Section 3497, unsanitary or offensive privies and water closets. Section 3498, miscellaneous nuisances. Section 82181, the definition of a dangerous structure requiring abatement. Section 82182, dangerous building. Declared a nuisance, abatement required. Section 82442, implementation and enforcement of the numbering system. And section 82443, the display of numbers.
Is there any part of the building code they comply with?
It might be easier to explain what they are in compliance with.
Just tell me what things they don't have to do. Okay.
The parcel ID is 2171-001-004. All certified mail has been returned, and we post the property as indicated on page 2. I would point out for the record that we do not have representation of the respondents here this afternoon or this morning.
Do you know if there's power on?
I don't know that.
I'm just curious why they...
I'll look through that in just a second. The summary of findings, the officer, Bob Spears, responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint upon arrival. Observed the property is in violation of the city's code as stated. Additionally, investigation revealed that the structure is dangerous due to its unsecure...
Is it occupied?
I'm sorry.
Is it occupied?
Incomplete condition. It's halfway built.
Yeah.
Incomplete. Did I space that out?
No, but that's okay. The property also has an open septic tank, which is creating a foul odor in the neighborhood. This property is contributing to the deterioration, slum, and blight of the neighborhood. And all attempts by Officer Spears to have the residents remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. I have a staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2. However, in light of the fact that I just learned that this has an open septic tank, I'm inclined to request from the magistrate an order for us to get that septic tank sealed up within 48 hours and the rest of the staff recommendation to apply.
Okay.
We need to get some wood put over that.
Wood?
Whatever, I leave it to the
Officer
contractor.
Spears, is this a real concrete septic tank, or is this a hole in the ground with a 55-gallon drum?
It appears to be a real septic tank. What I noticed was they had cut the sewer line away from it, and it was draining into the soil.
And do they have any explanation for why you would do that?
Nobody?
I mean...
And you can see in we've got junk and debris and all that, but at the bottom of page 2, they've separated the...
Yeah.
We need to get...
Then we got a concrete deck with no railings. That's an interesting sort of structure. We got a door that looks like either a dog chewed the corner of it off or a burglar, one or the other.
I can attest that there are certain situations where a dog will chew a door up. My ex-police dog would routinely... from the door handle down, off.
And the complaint.
And pretty obviously the white pickup truck isn't yours. I mean, it's up on a jack.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Are they just hunkering down and not answering the door? Is that what's happening?
I guess I couldn't really get up to the door because I had a couple of pit bulls. I was able to post the property.
Wow.
The complainant said there are small kids there. That was one of the big concerns with the caller. Small children.
Well, violations obviously exist, so I will adopt the staff recommendation with the modification that the owner secure that septic tank top within 48 hours, or the city's authorized to go in and remediate.
We appreciate that.
You can have the dogs, too.
That'll take us to page 4 of your docket this morning, C-114-0222, the City of Ocala versus Carmen L. Smith, and Officer Jason Kilcrease is the presenting officer here. This is location at 2345 Northwest 10th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 22270-000-00. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. And the summary of findings are that Officer Jason Kilcrease located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown and contains junk and debris. Additional investigation by Officer Kilcrease revealed the respondents have not taken any corrective action on the violations. All attempts by Officer Kilcrease to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff has included photographs of the current condition of the property. As it sits, Officer Kilcrease is prepared to answer any questions that the magistrate may have. I would point out that we've had numerous cases here.
And this is a commercial structure.
Yes, sir. We caught them on a Sunday, putting a new roof on. That was all good. You know, it's just been
You
one
don't
thing.
Want them to improve it, do you?
We just want them to do it the right way, sir.
Yeah, I understand. Furniture in the parking lot. Not it, the back door appears to be secured. Yeah, okay. We have a collection of tires.
Cleanup would go a long way here.
Somebody lives on the back stoop.
Yeah. Yeah. We picked that up.
Talked to Mrs. Smith? Had any contact with the owner?
No, sir. Then I'm unsuccessful at reaching anybody regarding this case.
That's been our consistent.
But if you lit it on fire, you'd meet her.
With her for many years.
Our apartment's here.
Okay, I find the violation exists and adopt the staff recommendation.
That'll take us to page 5 of the docket this morning, C-O-N-14-0360. This is the City of Ocala and Officer Jason Kilcrease. We would be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator versus Kevin Gaithers, a location of 2277 Northwest 12th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. The parcel ID is 22280-000-00. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your documentation. We have included as part of the additional correspondence the previous findings of fact and affidavit of partial compliance with the city brought the property into compliance previously. The summary of findings are that Officer Jason Kilcrease located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown and contains junk and debris. Additional investigation revealed that in 2011, the respondent was brought before the Code Enforcement Special Magistrate and found guilty for violation of City Code Section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. All attempts by Officer Kilcrease to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. I would again point out for the record that we do not have representation by the respondent here this morning. Staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation, and we would try to find him guilty as a
Do I correctly conclude that there is no structure?
There is no structure here. The structure is across the street.
Across the street?
Across the street, correct.
It's handy. Does the owner live in the structure across the street?
No, sir. It is boarded up.
Boarded up.
Yes, sir. And this is becoming a dumping site. It's becoming a dumping site. People are starting to dump more and more. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I find the violation exists and adopt the staff recommendation.
That'll bring us to the bottom of page 5 of the docket, C-O-M-14-0227, a case involving Officer Terry Allen in the City of Ocala versus Children's Palace East, Sabrina, Inc., a location. location at 3602 Southeast 7th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3032, Enforcement, and Section 3035, Assessment of False Alarm Fees.
How many of them?
They're off.
So the parcel ID is 27702-000-00, Legal Service, and posting have been obtained as indicated. We've included this part of the additional correspondence.
This is the little school right on the corner next to Highlands Elementary.
Yes, sir. Also a copy of the previous invoices from the fire department and police department for responses to that location for false alarms. Got the fire inspection report there. The summary of findings, Officer Terry Allen received this complaint from the finance division of the city, advising that the business has outstanding alarm fees which have not been paid. Officer Allen responded to the business location and left word for them to contact her concerning this incident, and all attempts by Officer Allen to add the response to the violation have not been successful. The violation remains. Staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2. I'm just trying to count the number of violations here for you.
A bunch?
Yes, sir.
Do they have an explanation of why they can't get their burglar or fire alarm from going off?
No, sir, but I know it's a big problem for fire and police.
Oh, yeah, and it's right there in a school zone, so what do? They evacuate the school every time this thing goes up in flames?
I doubt that.
Well, you would think that if you had a building with a fire alarm going off next to a school, you would maybe call the principal. Jeez. Okay, I find the violation exists. Adopt the staff recommendation.
That'll bring us to page 6 of your documentation. And if you would give me just a moment here, I need to find our paperwork for our staff recommendations on these. Okay, so this is going to be the request to reduction.
This is a reduction?
Yes, sir. These are in petitions. The first one I have on the list for you is CEB 080021, a case involving Officer Willie Chiguina. This would also be, it's a dual petition, CEB 080132, a case involving Officer Willie Chiguina. The location is 2373 Northeast 12th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. We've included a copy of the petition as well as the photographs and the case call sheet. The staff has a recommendation on their request after you've read through and are satisfied of what you're doing.
Are these two properties now in compliance?
Yes, sir. And it's my impression from the petition that this is a realtor who has a contract. Of course, I don't want to put words into their mouth.
I like it that they're putting opening bids out there now.
Yes, sir. I noticed that as well. I guess they're at the point where they think it's let's make a deal, spin the wheel, see what happens.
Okay, well, where are we in fines and things?
Staff is proposing a total cost on these at $22,550, which is, of course, a significant reduction from what they were originally at. The cost on the first one was $2,500 just for that one. They had 22 days non-compliance on one order and 14 days non-compliance on another order for a total of $900 in lien. The city had cleanup costs of $1,600. And then in the second one.
Let me get my brain wrapped around this. 132. Didn't we do 132 already?
No, sir. Remember, you said Seneca, but I said Fannie Mae, but then.
Oh, okay. So that was. Okay, So, yeah. Okay.
You were on Seneca, just the rest of us were on Fannie Mae.
Well, I was happy.
Yeah. And on the second one, we had a total cost of $1,250. City's proposing a combination total of $2,550. That'll cover city's costs.
one crazy fine's been running since 2008.
Both of them were 2008 cases.
And the other one is a 2008 case.
Yes, sir.
Exactly been in a big hurry to cure this problem.
No, sir. Like I explained, we had, they haven't been in a hurry to resolve the liens,
right.
Not in the least bit, but our case cost sheet showed 22 days non-compliance on item one and 14 days non-compliance.
Oh, okay, so these things haven't been sitting out there for 4 years.
No, the city brought them into compliance.
Oh, okay.
Twice in 2008. Then they got with the program. Of course,
okay.
The city will always abide by your judgment in these matters.
And if you made them pay the whole thing, how much would the whole clip be?
On the CEB 080132, the total cost was $1,250.
That's costs.
No, that's everything.
That's everything.
That's the whole shebang.
Take a check of $1,250. Okay.
And on CEB 080021. It was $2,500.
So you're at $3,750 between the two.
Correct. And we're proposing a $2,550.
Sure.
To reduce it.
So ordered. If
that
paid in the next 30 days.
Okay.
I'm not going to reduce it and then let them sit there for another 4 years.
I appreciate that. That'll take us to page 7 of your documentation, CON12. 0799. This is a case involving Nation Star Mortgage.
Is this another reduction request?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And we have a proposal here. I'll let you read over.
Okay, let me find Nation Star. Here's Nation Star. Okay, we've already done Fannie Mae. Okay, Nation Star. This one is now in compliance?
Yes, sir, and the city is being extremely generous in order to try to move this ahead. But we had a fine of $50 per day against them for 235 days of non-compliance for a total of $11,750.
Mm-hmm.
Additional cost of ordered work was $240.39, and prosecution cost as ordered for $147.76 for a total of $12,138.15. The city, of course, wants to be made whole on direct costs, and we've proposed a $1,000 fine, bringing this to $1,388.15.
So ordered, as long as it's paid within 30 days.
Okay. That'll bring us to the next petition, which is a petition for business tax certificate reduction. This person failed to get their business tax certificate in time. And as you're aware, after January 31st, there's an extra $125.
And we're talking about the $125.
Yes, sir. They have paid all of their fees due to the city, including interest. They want a waiver of the $125. The city is inclined to support this reduction of the fine because this is their first time offense.
So ordered.
That will bring us to another case by Officer Terry Allen, CUM 140425. This case is similarly situated. Is the petition where Officer Allen worked with this respondent to get him into the office to get it all caught up. They got it all caught up. This is their first time violation. The city would support a reduction of the fine.
So ordered.
That will take us to page 8 of your docket this morning. The city is in support of all of the parking hearing requests.
Really?
Yes, sir. These are our usuals where they would have been allowed, but they forgot this, that, or the other, or we suspect
the Blanchard one looks like shuffling to me.
Yes, sir. However, he did provide us with documentation that we intend to agree with him. That
are we curing the code on that
we
one?
We are.
that went through cabinet yesterday. I had a meeting with all of the executive management, explained the cure that the you and the city attorney so graciously worked out. That will be going forward to council in the next hearing.
Okay.
Which will
so this is coming to an end?
Yes, sir. It'll be first reading at the first hearing in May, second reading at the end of May. So we should be good by the end of May.
Okay, so I'm going to enter an order in each one of the parking cases.
We're supporting dismissal of those.
Dismissal. Okay.
Okay.
Is that all
right?
Yeah, I'm good.
We had one that we think probably saw the officer writing and then went online and paid real quick. So the citation was written at the same time that she paid. So we're giving them benefit of the doubt there.
1 minute.
Yeah, 1 minute difference. So we think they've got it down now. What they do is they set up their office, they look for the officer, pay online real quick.
So oh, that's what they're using, the credit card.
Yeah, so okay. we're
I got the drift.
We're regrouping and figuring out how we're gonna work on that one. I guess
undercover
we're gonna have to have
cops.
Undercover. We're gonna have to have undercover code enforcement officers. I don't know. That takes us to the bottom of page 9, which is old business, consent agenda for noncompliance. I would report to the magistrate that we have resolved COM 140109 by denying their request for extension.
Right.
Therefore, staff would respectfully request that an order be entered accepting all of those cases listed in the consent agenda as noncompliant and order staff to proceed with previous orders by the board and the
So ordered.
Having said that, staff respectfully requests a motion to accept all evidence, presentations, and testimony into the record.
So done.
And that concludes our presentation.
Great. We stand adjourned.
Thank you, sir.
Wonderful, guys.
Thank you, Bob. Good job. Good job, Bob. Hi, pineapple. Yeah.
Actually,
give him some
support.
Oh, good.
Like
you need my backup, right?
I thought you were coming here for fire.
Oh, I heard that too, so I was like, you need me? I got you.
Been there
many times.
Dwayne, did you turn that off?
Yeah, I know. I like that. That's awesome.
See, we do need Lorraine.
He was.
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was.